Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, or should I say, ho, ho, ho. Yes, welcome to Tech Talk. With me, Stephen Scott. Good to have you with me here. I've got Robin Christofferson from AbilityNet, who's as festive as a festive thing can be.
Festering. Yeah, hiya, hiya. You know, I've heard that intro how many times, and it says see technology differently, and that just kind of struck me for the first time that that's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Cool.
So it's like RNIB's thing. We see differently.
Yeah, nice.
You see, if you just figured this out.
Well, I'm a pan-disability organisation, so. But yes, cute.
So you don't see anything different?
We see the bigger picture.
Oh. And you're saying that in the competition? Wow, okay. Right, fine. Tim Schwartz is here from lifeafterblindness.com. Do you want to offend RNIB? Or are you happy with where you are?
I will not offend RNIB. I'm just trying to get through all the festering going on in here. Wow, but yes, I am here. Hello, Stephen. Hello, Robin. You know what? I have a question, though. During our intro, the Thunderbird countdown, am I the only one that kind of bobs or nods my head on each number as it's announced? Or is that just me?
No, I tend to just talk along with it.
Well, yeah,
I tend
yeah.
to do 4, mm-hmm. 3, 2. You got to do 2 properly. Two.
Yeah,
I want us to bring back the
New
old
York,
one.
2.
Yeah. Two.
With the Thunderbirds.
2. You know the amount of people that want me to get rid of that? The amount of emails I get saying, please, will you get rid of that horrible countdown? I like the countdown.
No, it's iconic for us.
Exactly,
not
it is.
For us.
It is. Yeah. I mean, I think we should I still think we should bring back the Thunderbirds.
I
think by the turn of the year, yeah, I agree. Yep. I think we should bring it back because, truthfully, Email Andy is here as well, by the way. Hello, Andy.
Oh, yeah, hello. Hi.
He's coming in. Yeah, because I think we should bring it back. I love that theme tune, and it was me who decided to get rid of it.
New year.
I clearly hate myself.
New level of annoyance. Let's do it. Aim high.
Yeah. See how many emails that gets, Andy, for you to read.
Yeah.
Oh, another 300 pages
as
to
long
add.
Long as you don't touch the Wonderful. Email jingle, because that's pretty unanimous, the people who love that jingle. So as long as that stays, you're fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Infamous.
I think we actually...
Infamous.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, look, lots to talk about on the show this week because, what are we, about almost a month away from Christmas or whatever it will be this year. It's not really Christmas, is it? Let's be honest. It's just another day in the house. And all the shops are closed and, well, nothing really changes then, does it? Everything's exactly the same as it will be every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, until the end of your life.
All right.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Ho, ho, ho.
But this week we thought we'd do things a bit differently because normally we get into the email inbox and we jump in with lots of different things. But actually this time around we're going to focus on one topic, and that is...
Apple.
Gifts.
Oh, yes, gifts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Of course, yeah. Well, Apple might come up.
Who knows?
You may be surprised. But yeah, I thought we'd put together a holiday gift guide. Now, the idea of this, lots of the websites are doing this, lots of magazines do this, and that's all good and well, but I think let's do our version of it from the blind and partially sighted point of view, and think about things we might buy our blind friends or blind partners or, you know, the special person in your life who's got a visual impairment. We thought we'd go through it. So we did tell ourselves... Well, I said, you know, let's maybe cap it at £1,000. Say each gift can be up to £1,000. Could be £5. Could be anything from, you know, £1 to £1,000. How have we all done in that? Because if I'm honest, mines are still pretty expensive.
I've got a good spread. I like this up to, though. It reminds me of download speeds that the ISPs offer. Up to?
Up to 1,000,000 megabits per second. Actual one. Yeah, I know. I remember that with... I used to have ADSL. Do you remember that? ADSL?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Which was 128 kilobits per second, and we thought this was the fastest thing in the world. I mean, put it this way. Compared to my old modem, which was 56 kilobits, the one where... Bing, 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 all that nonsense. It was... That's what mine did. And... I'd connect up... Yeah, a separate box, you know, connected to your phone line, and you could only connect it to the phone line... And then when you did, you couldn't use the phone.
Yep.
That used to upset my mum no end. And I used to go off my head because I'd say, why is my mum on the phone to her friend Christine again for another 2 hours? And I swore she would just sit on that phone deliberately just to annoy me. so that I couldn't go on the internet. And then when I was on the internet, I could only go on for 10 minutes a night.
Really?
Because it costs so much money.
Oh.
Yeah, because it costs so much. You were paying the connection charge, plus you were paying, you know, the call charge, essentially. And it wasn't like it is now, where everything's just pretty much built into the bill.
Mm. Luckily, though, in those days,
the old days,
in 10 minutes, you could check out the whole internet and what had changed.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. That's true, yeah.
Back in those
if you could download it.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we're getting all very...
right.
We'll see our month to Christmas, isn't it? We get the alcohol out and starting to cry over everything that's gone by. I remember the old days when they were so much better. When I could go outside. Yeah.
The going outside
right, anyway, let's get
better,
into this. Yeah, it's funny. I was actually thinking a while back, just this crazy idea I had. And you know what I'm like with my stupid ideas I came up with from time to time for this show. And one idea I had was that we should do a show as if it's 1995. Just pretend it's 1995, and everything we talk about in that show is 1995.
Wow.
And previous. You know, nothing has happened beyond it at that stage. I think that'd be a really cool idea.
We have to have 90s hairstyles as well.
I've already got mine.
Mine hasn't really changed, though.
Still got mine.
Yeah, I was in high school in 1995. That would be a very interesting episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, well, look, let's get into the gift guide then. So three gifts from each of us. We're going to start with Tim. You get the first roll of the dice here. I want you to talk us through your three gifts, and we will, of course, slaughter them.
Of course you will. Now,
or applaud them.
You want me to...
No, you're too nice.
Would you like me to start at the bottom tier or the top tier?
Oh, you decide.
Yes, I thought long and hard about this, trying to figure out what three things can I talk about that you guys hadn't already stolen and mentioned that you were going to talk about, all the good stuff that I wanted to talk about. But no, I did come up with a few things that some aren't necessarily specific to somebody totally blind, because after all, you know, they say what, about 80-85% of people with vision issues can see something. You know, only about 15% or so of us can't see anything. So
in other words, what you're saying is you couldn't find anything cheap enough under the £1,000
bag. Oh, no.
That was specialist.
Well, for people that are totally blind, all that was easily over $1,000. Mm. But I went slightly mainstream with a few things that can be very accessible. So I will start then at my top tier. Last I checked on the Lady A online retail store, it was going for about $279.99 in the UK, so £279. And that would be a Nintendo Switch.
Ooh.
Now, I picked the Nintendo Switch. I don't personally have one, although I'd like to, and my daughter would just go nuts to have one. She's been begging for like 2 years to have one. But I've talked to a lot of people about the Nintendo Switch that are sighted or legally blind, and... First of all, just as a gaming device, something that you can use that's portable, take it with you. But then also the neat thing about the Switch is you can just port it to your television and then play everything on your screen. Well, right there, if you have low vision, that obviously is very, very helpful just right off the bat. But in the last about 2.5 to 3 years or so, Nintendo has done quite a bit to make the Nintendo Switch accessible for people that have low vision or legally blind, some vision that is useful. And so they have a dark mode, you know, high contrast. They do now have a zoom mode, so you can zoom in just like you would on a smartphone kind of zoom. Because I believe from my research, the Nintendo Switch actually is based on Android in a certain way, a type of Android. So you do have zoom. And the buttons can be reconfigured very similar to the Microsoft Xbox controller that's out there, that you can reconfigure buttons. You can do that now with the Nintendo Switch as well, which is very, very helpful for, you know, people to, you know, remember or memorize which button does what, make it, you know, easier for you to play. So between all the, you know, the contrast and color options, some games even have colorblind options where you can change them within game. And like I said, the contrast modes and the zoom mode, that does help. There also are a couple of games that are very specific to use more haptic feedback and particular sounds and have accessibility modes. And so I've actually heard people talk about how they can play Super Mario or Mario Kart, Legend of Zelda, and several other games if they have headphones on. The 3D sound plus the haptic feedback plus some of the accessibility features in there they can play them with very little or maybe even no vision in some cases. There are assistive modes for a lot of games, so they'll put like a big colorful arrow. So if you're off the beaten path where you should have been going, this big arrow will come up to tell you, no, 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 idiot, go this way. You're off, off, you know, kilter there.
Idiot.
You know, you know, so it'll kind of help assist you. And I've read some reviews from blind people that say, or, you know, people that are legally blind or low vision that'll say that's so helpful because, you know, of the assistive mode and things like that. So I've heard that some people that have low vision do play Nintendo Switch, but then when I really dove into it and read some reviews, watched some YouTube videos, and talked to some people that I actually, you know, some friends of mine that use it that are legally blind, I didn't realize how much was actually available in a Nintendo Switch for people with low vision to actually be able to play it and enjoy it.
Wow. I must admit, I'm surprised at that one. I did not expect you to come out with a Nintendo Switch. I got one of these for my wife last year for her Christmas, and she's barely used it. And I think she's not saying much, but I think it's because she can't see the screen very well, and she's not using a lot of these features, I don't think. But then maybe her vision's too far gone to use it, really. I don't know. I mean, we got it on the kind of hope that it would work. Now, of course, I'm saying all this. The Nintendo Switch, is that the one that plugs into the TV?
Yeah, you can plug it into the TV and use it on a, you know, big screen or a monitor, yep.
Ah, no, hold on. That's not the one I got. What was the one I got?
Well, it also has its own screen.
Yeah, it has its own built-in screen, but you can plug it into to a TV, yeah.
No, but there's another one. There's the one that I got last year, which... What was it? The Switch Lite, was it called?
There is a Switch Lite that is different. Yeah, I don't know as much about that.
That's just the handheld.
I think that one may not plug in, right?
I got that one because I'm cheap. That's yes. What it was. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay.
Get her a big one.
Are you surprised? Robin, are you...
Well, I'm probably constantly guilty of just thinking no vision rather than low vision because I haven't got any. So, you know, having a screen like that with some offerings in the kind of accessibility and inclusive gaming department sounds really good. Yeah. I mean, there are obviously people out there using it. And I loved the Wii when I could see a tiny bit. And it's in the same stable, isn't it? So, yeah, like it. Thumbs up.
Okay, I've got a little birdie tells me that Andy might be coming along with something game related a bit later. So
as are
I bet you weren't thinking of that one, weren't
as
you?
Are you as well? I as see what you, you've penned down. Yeah.
Well, I might be making a last minute change to my list. So
keep us on our toes.
Yes, absolutely. Don't make it easy for you.
We had our.
You don't think what I put in those notes was actually right, do you?
Well, that's okay. I had a feeling that what I put in the notes you probably didn't look at anyway. So you know. Anyway.
I didn't. But anyway, moving on. Right, what else? Yes, sorry, Andy, you were going to say.
No, I was going to say, you know, I was very surprised at that. But I know that the Switch is very, very popular, but also has, like Tim said, lots of accessibility options, as will mine coming up later on.
Okay, so what's number two on your list then, Tim?
Such a tease. So like Robin said, I do tend, because I don't have any functional vision, I do tend to think more about, you know, things that would be for people totally blind. So my first reaction or instinct...
Selfish.
Well, my first instinct is actually to think of people with no vision, because that's me. And you do. Mm-hmm. It is easy to forget people that aren't in the same category as you. And it's like, well, wait, there are people out there with low vision or that can't have some vision. Mm-hmm. That's actually...
I think we're all guilty of that in this show.
Yeah,
sometimes
that does happen. So that was actually kind of the thought behind the Nintendo Switch. As with my next two items, the next one being... Here comes the first mention, well, product of the show, an Apple TV. And so at the time, at least of this discussion, this recording, there hasn't been any new Apple TV announced or released. The rumor is the newest one might even not be until next March. So that's very sad. However, you can get the fourth generation Apple TV, I believe, again, on my go-to, you know, the lady... a online retail store in the UK. It retails for about $149.99 for the fourth generation Apple TV. The 4K version, which I'll talk about the reasons outside of the 4K in a minute here why else you would want to get the 4K version. But there are two versions of that. One is 179, one is 199. And really the biggest difference is hard drive space. And that's important to me because of Apple Arcade. So first of all, Apple TV, just with all the apps that you can use, it's not just a TV portal, which is what I expected when I first bought one a few years ago, thinking, well, I'll have a couple of apps that I can access, you know, on-demand content and things like that, watch shows later if I missed it on DVR or what have you, or, you know, good for cord cutting. But then there's so many other apps that you can get into, different things that you can use, different ways to connect. And then they added Apple Arcade. And, you know, again, with gaming, I know, you know, Steven, you're not much of a gamer, but with Apple Arcade, they really have done a good job at, I'm not going to say being a complete, perfect competitor to Xbox or PlayStation, because that would be ridiculous, although I think that they could get there in future versions of the Apple TV. But the games that are available are really, really good, and there are console-quality type games that are available on Apple TV. You can buy controllers to play them with, which my daughter has definitely done. And so because it's not just a over-the-air TV streaming box, that's why I would suggest that to someone, especially if you have low vision or even no vision, all the content that you can get that's audio described, all the different, you know, things that are available. I think the Apple TV is just, if you just want an access to some TV shows, yeah, go buy a Fire Stick for 20 quid. You know, that is an option. But if you want something that's going to open up a whole lot more to you with different apps and games and things like that, then I think it's worth spending the money in an Apple TV.
I actually think that Arcade is brilliant. From what I've heard, anyway, there's something for everyone. So there's right up to sort of console level experiences down to the most simple, most gentle games on it. There really is something for all ages and all kind of tastes. So, and it's pretty cheap, so yeah.
Yeah, because it's not really your kind of Call of Duty, you know, everyone's
there are
killed
some stuff
on a fairly
like
regular
there
basis
type
game.
There are some games, though, that are like that, though. There actually are some.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it seems to me more, and the name suggests it, doesn't it, that it is a kind of easier environment for gameplay. It is maybe more for those casual gamers.
Casual
trying to
gamers,
people in
family
like me.
Gamers. I mean, there's some games that my daughter plays that my wife will tell me, she's like, the graphics on this are fantastic. They look just like every commercial or every other game I see for consoles. And I listen to her play, and the sound effects and the music and everything is really, really great and immersive. But then there's other games that are just ridiculously simple because, well, that just they are. So there is that wide range, like Robin said. And I think that that's important because, obviously, when you're downloading games, that's why I would look at maybe the 4K if you are wanting it for gaming, because you have the 32 gigabyte model as opposed to the 64 gigabyte model in the 4K, where you don't have that in the fourth generation. And I haven't purchased the 4K because we, of course, have our fourth gen already. But if and when a new one comes out with a larger hard drive, better processing, I'll be all over that, because we actually in our house are using it very much as a family gaming console in addition to all the other entertainment and television that we use it for. So it's really kind of becoming bigger than just its original intent.
Okay, I'm going to move you along because time is always upon us in this show. So what's your third item on your holiday gift
guide? My third one is much, much less expensive and is very useful for anyone wanting to make their house a little smarter. And simply, it's just an Amazon smart plug. I've seen it retail for about $24.99 lately with sales and things. Even on you know, Black Friday and things, you'll probably be able to get a little cheaper. When they had Amazon Prime Day, I think it was about 17, 18 quid, something like that. So you can get it a little cheaper. But an Amazon smart plug literally is that. It's a plug that you can use for a fan, for you know, really anything, a lamp, a coffee pot, whatever you want to plug into it to make it smarter. So you can add it to your Lady A routines, or just to turn it on and off, or have other smart features associated to it with your Lady A products. It's that simple and very easy to set up, and really kind of affordable. I mean, I wish it was like $10 or 10 quid instead, or $10 here, but you know, even at 25, it's not bad to make something smart. Say you've got a fan across the room, you know, or, you know, something like that that you want to be able just plug in and be able to control it with your voice, you can very easily do that.
Yeah, I do like this. I mean, yeah. I must admit, I've been buying the TP-Link ones. I think the TP-Link Casa really smart plugs are really good. I've had very few issues with those. My Amazon smart plug that I have in the kitchen that turns on my speakers. I've got speakers under the ceiling so we can put music on. And I turn them on and off, obviously, at night and during the day. And I find the Amazon smart plug tends to sometimes fall over and you've got to kind of get up on a ladder and, you know, where the plug is and fix it. Whereas with the TP-Link ones, very rarely have I had an issue. So, I don't know, maybe it's just the software in it or whatever. But, and you can get good deals in these as well. And Robin's going to talk about Black Friday later. You can always get a good deal on these as well. That's a great idea. So there you go. Nintendo Switch, Apple TV, Amazon Smart Plug. That's a nice mix of items. I like that. Okay. I was going to go next, but I think I want to hear from Robin first.
Okay, then.
Jump in with you, Robin. So what are you starting off with on your gift guide?
I'm starting off with my cheapest one, and I've got it right here in front of me. I'm picking it up, and the top half, it's like a sandwich. It's about the size of two big jam donuts stuck one on top of the other. And that's because the top half is an Echo Dot third gen, which is like a big hockey puck with fabric on the outside. I think many of us know what that looks like. And the bottom half is a base. It's a charging base. So this, basically, you plug, you rest your Echo Dot on top of it, and there's a little arm that comes up over the back, which makes sure that it goes in nicely and stays wedged in. And that arm also has the power little knobbin, which goes in the back of the dot. So the power, which you then plug into the base permanently when you don't want to go mobile, is constantly charging the base, and that power also gets passed through into the dot. So the dot's just normal until you unplug the power and take it with you. I'm holding up to the microphone here so you can see. I'm waving my hand around it. No wires. No wires at all. 8 hours of playback. If I unmute the dot here. Okay, so it's listening to me now. Alexa, what time is it?
It's 2:40 p.m.
It's in midair, guys, and it's just working. So this is the rechargeable base for the Echo Dot third gen. If you search for that, if you want the exact one that I have got here, it's $24.99 on that Jungle related website. And if you search for, if you put GGMM, those four letters next to each other in the search results, I've got no idea why that's part of the title of the product, but it is. So you'll get this exact one, and it's really, really good. There is a power button on the front, which you can hold in for 2 seconds if you want to make sure that it, you know, it's not actually charging it. If you're going away on holiday, for example, and you want to keep the juice ready for when you're just going to use it, but be aware that when you then turn that on again, it'll take a couple of minutes for the dot to boot up because it was kind of like unplugging the dot, basically. So yeah, I love it because now all of those places, you know, the utility, the shower, the bathroom, where there isn't a dot at the moment, just carry one with me. All my dot goodness, all my A-Lady goodness with me wherever I go. So that's my first one.
I like that. I really like that because this is my issue. You go into the bathroom, maybe go for a shower, and I like to take music with me. What I have done in the past is connected my Echo Dot via Bluetooth to a speaker. But of course, she can't hear me because the actual dot is in another room. So if you're screaming at the top of your lungs, turn the song, either turn the volume down or change the song, or, you know, change the radio station or whatever else, or, you know, for goodness sake, stop TikTok, whatever it is, right? Then, you know, you want to be, you know, able to do that, and you can't when it's not in the room. So having this is great. Although my question is, how easy is it to charge? Because I have to say I'm very lazy. And, you know, I've bought these before and I get fed up with them because the batteries don't last forever. They last for a number of, you know, hours. And you've got to charge them up again. And so, I'm very lazy and can't be bothered.
Because it's a permanent thing, you just keep it plugged in. And the dot is just a normal dot, normally speaking. Okay, it's twice as high now. But
so how are you connecting? Is it micro USB?
No, you just, what are you connecting it takes to? The
you
power.
Have to charge up the battery.
So it takes the power lead. So when you set it up, you literally pull the power lead out of the back of the dot, stick the dot on top of this thing and plug the power lead back in. But in this case, you're plugging it into the base.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
right,
so nothing really changes.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually.
And so it's always full, basically. So,
unless, of course, you're going to put it back on plug it back in.
But that's but good, though. I'm thinking about dot next to my bed. If I want to go into the shower, I could just take it from, you know, just unplug it and take it with me.
I think the easiest use case is if you never take it off the base. And there's no reason to, because the power goes into the base. So just think of it as a double thickness dot that you can now take around with you. So yeah, like it. I think that's really good. Next one, very quickly, is Bose Frames. The Alto, which is my preferred frames, my preferred style, sort of men's, slightly larger frames one, I still use every single day, many, many times a day. And I love it. $179.99. I literally just asked this Echo Dot. I went on mute earlier just to double check what the current price is at the moment. So that's £180 for a Bluetooth pair of sunglasses. If you search for Bluetooth sunglasses on Amazon, you will get literally dozens and dozens, and some of them have really good reviews, and they start at sort of £15, £25, £49.99. So there's really quite a range. I can't comment on those, but as you mentioned before, Black Friday is coming up. At the time of this first going out, it's in 3 days' time on the 27th of November. So Black Friday, a lot of things are reduced, and so if you can pick yourself up a pair of Bose frames, maybe £180 is very rich for your blood, but you know, if you can get them at £140 or something, that might still be way out of your price range. If it is, I can very much attest to the real pleasure of using Bluetooth sunglasses, so you may want to try some of those other ones, read the reviews and that sort of thing. But yeah, Bose frames, even without the AR bit, it's still really good. Oh, and by the way, that AR, that kind of turning your head around and having the spatial audio, still works with Soundscape, Microsoft's Soundscape, so luckily that's not gone away.
Now, the first time I heard of Bose frames, it was from our Tim here,
yes,
who told me all about them and got me all excited about it. You got them first.
I did, and I had to convince you because you weren't quite sure. You thought maybe it was kind of gimmicky, and how was it going to sound, and was it really going to work? And then you went to the Bose store, I believe, and tried it, and that was difficult because it was so loud, and you still ordered some, as you tend to do. And you were very quickly convinced because they are so good. I mean, could they be a little bit louder in louder situations when you're out and about? Sure. Could the battery maybe be a couple more, you know, hours or something and a little bit more battery? Sure. However, this was the first incarnation of these and their first go round at this. They have all the AR technology in there. If and when they really true put out a Bose Frames 2, you know, they take out all the AR and all the other, you know, sensors and things, maybe that'll allow them to put a little more battery in there. That would be fantastic. But even like Robin said, this first iteration of it, even without the AR, which was fantastic, and I loved what the AR could do for spatial audio, for traveling, for GPS type of, not really GPS specifically, but knowing about information about, you know, your surroundings, the gaming aspect of it. It was great. However, even without that, those frames are so good.
Yep.
Yeah, and they have brought out new versions of them, and I'm a bit confused, if I'm honest. Obviously, you can still get the Alto and the Rondo, the round versions of them, but you now get Tenor, Soprano, and you can get Tempo.
Oh, that's right. I forgot those came out, yeah.
And interestingly, they don't have AR, but yet they do have a higher price tag, which I don't really understand. And I mean, I've tried the Tempo versions. I bought a pair to try, immediately sent them back because clearly they're only, and we've had this conversation before, they're only built for people with small heads, of which I'm not one.
Small to medium.
That's right.
Not XL.
So haven't tried the Tenor or the Soprano. The Tenor is more square or rectangular frame. The Soprano is a little bit rounder. I haven't tried those yet, but one thing I did notice with the Tempo is you got a bit more sound, a bit more bass out of them. But not only did you get it, so did everybody else, because they are open ear in some ways. They are firing the audio at your ear and also whoever's sitting next to you in the bus. So that might be a problem. But, you know, for personal use, for at home, for especially right now, working from home, living at home all the time, these are great. And I think for people with voiceover on their iPhones, that's really where it comes into its own for me. I love it for that. Maybe even an audiobook as well, the odd talking podcast. Yes. I think for speech, great. For music, I'd, you know, stick in my AirPods or I'd find something else. But I think for speech, these are absolutely brilliant. They don't get on your nerves. I like these. Okay, all right. Well, that's two. What's your third one, Robert?
Okay, very quickly then. I'm not going to justify why one needs an Apple Watch. Just to say that we could have that discussion. We absolutely could. I want to flag that the third gen Apple Watch, so we're now up to Series 6. So Series 3 of the Apple Watch now starts brand new at $199. And that's the one I've got on my wrist at the moment. It's the 38mm, which is the smaller one, which I think is normal watch size. The other one's perhaps a little bit... I don't know actually what size normal watches are, but anyway. Battery life, absolutely fine. No slouch with voiceover at all. The earlier ones were a bit sluggish with voiceover. I think with Series 3, the responsiveness arrived. So if you want to get into the Apple Watch ecosystem and you've been wondering about it, you know, which gen should you get, which, you know, at what point does it start being a really good product, I would say Series 3. I've got no complaints at all about mine. And $199 I would see as a really viable entry level. Obviously, if you got a refurbished one or secondhand ones or whatever, you could go cheaper than that. But I just wanted to flag $199 for getting yourself into the Apple Watch ecosystem. Love it.
Yeah, I think that's a smart thing to say, actually. I mean, you know, for us voiceover users who don't really care much about the screen, you know, let's be honest about it. You know, when you get to Series 6, yes, of course, there are wonderful features in there, like that blood oxygen sensor. Obviously, when you go beyond Series 3, you've got other health features in there. But to be honest, I don't think there's enough to make me... I mean, for what I use it for, and it's very basic stuff I use it for, you know, I've got the Series 5. I have no desire to upgrade to the 6. The 7 will need to have something amazing in it before I even think about it. I'll probably have this watch for a good few years. Who am I kidding? Of course I'll buy a new one next year. I'm not insane. But no, I mean, I don't need it. That's the point. I have no need for it. You know, the new iPhone 12, of course, is out. And I was thinking of getting the iPhone 12 mini. And I've been really excited about the iPhone 12 mini. I haven't bought one yet. Because truthfully, I don't need it. The iPhone SE is fine. So, you know, it's like, well, what do you do, you know?
So this anyway. Does have AFib, if you've got an irregular heart. It has fall detection. It has, obviously, all the other fitness stuff. It doesn't have blood oxygen, like you say. It doesn't have ECG. So I just wanted to, summarize the differences. But, yeah, really, really good.
But even in saying that, though, if a person says, you know what, I do want the EKG, I want those other features, but I don't really need to get into a 5 or a 6, the new Apple Watch SE that they came out with this year, I believe, is just a little bit more expensive, I think. But it does have a little bit more of that. So, I mean, it's kind of the scaled-down version of the 6. So there are definitely options for everybody. But I like the idea of saying, you know what, the 3 is that starter level. If you want a little bit more, go to the SE. And then after that, well, then what do you need it for? You know, if you really want the blood oxygen, like you were talking about, Stephen, then yeah, go for the 6. If that's not something you need, then 4 or 5 is fine. I'm currently on the 4, and I feel the same way you do, Stephen, that the 7 would have to have something just absolutely groundbreaking for me to get into it, because my 4 works so well, so nicely. I don't know that I'll upgrade until maybe at least Series 8 or so. It'll be a few years for me, unless there's just some sort of amazing new tech that they put in it that I'm like, oh, wait, that's the health thing I personally need for my individual lifestyle and health. Mm. Otherwise, you know, it's just a matter of when I'll upgrade whenever I upgrade. But yeah, I like the idea of the Series 3 being that very, very, you know, low-end, entry-level watch.
And I will say as well, since WatchOS 7 has come out, I don't know about your watches, but for me, my watch has sped up considerably.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. A little bit, yeah, for me.
I've noticed a big difference on the Series
5. Well, you got a faster watch.
Yeah, but I mean, it was okay, and it was okay before, you know, but it is certainly far more responsive now than it's ever been. So I think that's quite interesting. They always seem to do this with new updates. You do tend to feel you get your device gets a bit of a kick, which is nice. Okay, right. Thank you, Robin. Another good mix of things. The Bose frames, the Echo Dot, of course, with the extra battery pack and the Apple Watch Series 3. Do you know what? Everybody tells me I talk too much in this program, so I'm going to hand it over to Andy. You've been very quiet on all of this.
Yeah,
Andy.
Wow, I'm blown away by the gift giving of Robin and Tim so far. They've got some.
No one's giving these to anybody. We need to get this out of our head. Nobody's giving this to people.
Stephen, no, if you do it, they might.
This is not how this works.
Some really good suggestions so far. Really good suggestions. So Tim started with gaming. So I'm going to drag it back to gaming because I'm going to talk about the next gen console coming from Microsoft, which is the Xbox Series X. Not the most catchy of names, and Microsoft have sort of come into a bit of trouble with their naming because originally you had the original Xbox, which was 2002, then they went to the 360 for some reason back in 2005, then they went back again to the Xbox One, and now it's just Xbox Series X, so make of that what you will. PlayStation have got it far more under control because they just went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There you go. Yeah. So the Xbox Series X is the high-end gaming console that'll be coming out. It is out already, and it's priced at $449.99. So this is the very high-end price bracket. There is an option of paying for it on a monthly basis, which also includes Xbox All Access at $28.99 a month. Now, with Xbox All Access, that gets you the console, and it gets you 2 years' worth of Game Pass Ultimate, which means you get access to hundreds of games on the market, and ones that will be coming out for the new console as well. Now, the Xbox Series X is going to give you 4K gaming. It's going to give you 120 frames per second on the action. It's going to give you 8K in the HDR, the high dynamic range, compatible with all of the games that have already been released on Xbox over the years, over the past four generations, as I mentioned, going all the way back to 2002. And there are also going to be a lot of launch titles with the games as well. So I'm predominantly aiming this at people who are going to be gamers, people who are already familiar with, you know, your Halos and your Forzas. Interestingly enough, with the new Xbox Series, one of the launch titles is going to be a new Tetris game, which you wouldn't have predicted this year. Yeah, 2020, and we're going to be having a new multiplayer Tetris game.
I'm not surprised by anything anymore in 2020.
Yeah, that's the least surprising thing of 2020. Yeah.
I'm not going to be forgetting anything to do with accessibility as well, because Microsoft are huge on accessibility, especially with their consoles. So if you go deep diving into this, you'll also find that you can have high contrast modes in the gaming, you're going to have screen magnifier, you can have speech to text. There's also options for things like co-pilot control options, so other people can control what you're controlling as well on the screen. There's the adaptive controller, which was launched earlier this year or last year as well. Now, I'll give an alternative. If $449.99 is a little bit out of your price range, there's always the next model down. They're launching two simultaneously, which is the Xbox Series S, which is the slightly reduced model priced at $249.99. What are you getting in the S? What are you not getting in the S? Well, it's the same FPS, you're not getting 4K, and you're not going to have a Blu-ray drive. It is solely games you can download from the internet rather than putting into the console. So yeah, those are my first options: the Xbox Series X or the Xbox Series S.
Solid.
I really like that one. I actually had considered talking about that, but I hadn't played with one for a while. I haven't had an Xbox in a while, but I'm very familiar with the accessibility features of it, and I like that one. I like that one a lot. It's kind of the same reason I went with Switch, because of just the fact that a lot of people aren't always aware that there are accessibility features in there. And of course, Microsoft has many, many more, even over the Switch, like you said, Andy. So
yeah,
I really like that. I've actually considered buying the new Xbox because I talked to so many people with low vision, or even people with no vision at all, to say with the sound quality and the immersiveness, and then the text-to-speech and the other features, you can actually play a lot of mainstream games, even if they're not meant to be accessible. And then as we know, there are a lot of games that are being made accessible as well for Xbox. So yeah, that's a good one.
I would also defend the price, saying that $449.99 or even the lesser one at $249, consoles are a little bit different from mobile phones or other gadgets that we're putting into our house, in that we're finding that with Echo Dots or with phones or whatever it is, there's always going to be a new one next year. There's always going to be a newer model or an updated model or one with a screen or one with a microphone or one that cooks your dinner for you or whatever it is. But with consoles, you're getting a console that's going to be a high-end console for 6, 7, 8 years maybe. I was one who bought the 360 back in the day. 2006, I think I got that console, and that lasted me a good 10 years. And then I got one of the variations of the Xbox One. That's probably going to last me another 5, 6 years as well. There's so much more longevity in these devices than, hey, let's just knock out another phone or let's knock out another smart speaker or something along those lines. So,
and let's be even fairer, you know, that it's probably half the price of a new iPhone.
Yeah.
And actually, they don't make any profit on the hardware at all. Yeah, it's all about software. The ecosystem. It's all about the games.
Yeah, which
they
is...
actually, in some cases, sell those at a loss when they go on discount. So if you spec up the different components, there's no margin on these console games at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's
if
all
you were
about
buying
subscriptions.
A gaming PC to do this, yeah. It would be...
As with the theme of 2020, a lot of companies saying, we need to get people on subscription models. Apple are doing it, all sorts of companies. And the next thing I'm going to be talking about actually has subscription models. With Xbox, they're figuring this out as well, which is why they've offered the $28.99 and the $20.99 models as well. So, yeah, go out and get an Xbox.
I think It's really worth mentioning the accessibility. I haven't played these consoles. I haven't put the money in simply because I'm not going to spend that amount of money on something that I can use a very small amount of. That's just me. And I'm not a huge gamer as well. That's the other thing. Whereas I know a lot of people within R&IB, a lot of friends of mine who are visually impaired who are very much into the games, who will spend that money, who have, and again, it's like, you know, we said right at the back at the beginning, you know, we all have this, it's kind of joking around a bit, but seriously, we probably all do kind of think about blindness first, which is absolutely right. That's what the show's about. But a lot of people out there who are in quotes blind have got some vision, and you know, a lot of those people use the accessibility features. One very basic thing that a friend of mine told me he did was in order to use his Xbox, he just went into his TV settings and made the whole screen, you know, took all the colour out and made it black and white so that he was able to see it. And he found that was so much easier for him. And that was his accessibility method. Now, you can probably do that with Xbox now, which is brilliant. So, yeah, I think it's good to... I'm really glad you brought this up because I don't think we've ever talked about the Xbox series on this show before. So, yeah, really good. Okay, what's your second?
So, the next one, I was debating about this because I didn't know which product to go for. Originally, on the little spreadsheet that we have, I put down the Arlo Video Doorbell at $179.99. And then I went... You know what? Actually, you know what? I'll just go with the Ring Doorbell 3 at $179.99. And then I changed my mind again, and I'm going with the Nest Hello because it's Google, and I'm in the Google ecosystem anyway. Now, this is a slight...
Indecisive.
Very indecisive, yeah, which is odd. Now, this is also a little bit more pricey. This is $229 for the device, £229. And you also have got the subscription model. Now, the reason why I was umming and ahhing over this is I originally thought that the Arlo Video Doorbell was the one that came without the subscription piece. You pay more up front, and you don't have all of the add-ons that come with the Ring Video Doorbell. You need a subscription to get the best out of the doorbell, right? Well, it turns out all of them apparently have subscription models. I didn't know this, but... Yeah, if you want to get the best out of the Nest Halo, you're going to need to sign up and get the Plus versions and all sorts. So, yeah, similar with the Xbox, they've figured out we need to get people on rolling, you know, devices, rolling finances to get the most money out of them. What I like about the Nest Halo, it works with Google as well as Amazon. It is a wired connection, so you don't have to worry about changing the batteries. It offers a really good facial recognition. So it tells you, your devices in your house will tell you who's at the door if they've, you know, a regular visitor. You can argue whether that's a good or bad thing and whether or not you want to know who's at the front door. But yes, although I am siding with the Nest Hello, that $229, the other alternatives, as I mentioned, Arlo Video Doorbell at $179.99 and the Ring Doorbell 3 at $179.99. But get yourself a smart doorbell.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can get them for everywhere now. I mean, you know, you're in a flat, and you can even get them for flats now. You know, you can have it where it will, you know, sort of it replaces the peephole.
Yes,
you can get those kind. And that's great. You know, I love that they've designed that. It's so clever. They've figured this out, a way to sell to people. It's brilliant. To take money off people. It's brilliant.
I'm just trying to imagine what people who have never heard about smart devices or anything would think of a subscription for your doorbell.
I know. I know. Well, I'm going to talk about something that will blow your mind a bit later on that kind of thing. But let's get to your third option, Andy. What else have you picked up for our gift guide this year?
Yeah, I'm going to apologise on this one because this is not a low-end price. This is still at £195. So, unfortunately, it's going to be a very expensive Christmas for me. I'm going with a smart backpack. Yes, we are now progressing into the world where everything is smart, and so is your backpack. Now, this is called the Connect Eye Laptop Backpack. And it's a Google invention as well. Google and Samsonite have teamed up. And it's offering a backpack which offers, the strap. Yeah, the strap. It has built into it a way of unlocking tons of features just by rubbing your fingers up and down on the strap. So it interacts with your laptop or with your phone. Yes, steady with your phone.
Right, it's a family show.
On the left strap, you can unlock tons of features. This is according to the little blurb on the website. Using the mobile app, you can customize gesture controls to play, pause, and skip music. You can trigger a photo countdown. You can hear the next map direction or deliver call and text notifications. Other abilities include hearing the current time, pinging your phone, asking Google Assistant for help, and even an alert for your rideshare arrives. So everything that you get on your phone, you can operate through your backpack, which actually I really want one now.
I'm stunned.
It does sound pretty cool.
I have to have one. Yeah.
Yeah, the price is putting me off.
How much? Yeah,
yeah. There's a little much.
Yeah, the price is pretty high. Yeah, but in saying that, I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, it's the only thing we probably don't have. It's the only gadget we probably don't own.
What was the price? Yeah.
So the standard model they've got offered is £195. There is a slimline version, but the price isn't slimline, I'm afraid. That's only £179. So there's not much difference between the two. But you're looking at about a 15.5-inch backpack, so enough room for your laptop and all of your gadgets as well.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. I have a feeling my daughter finds out about that. She's going to want one for school if and when we ever have her go back into a physical school again. And if I was still going to an office every day, I'd absolutely have one. I like that. I didn't even know they had something like that. So that one's cool. I like it.
If anyone from Samsonite is listening, send us some.
Happy to try that out for life.
Good luck with that. Yeah. Okay, right. Do you want to know mine?
Good ones, Andy.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
Yeah, Stephen, what you got up your sleeve? Because this makes me nervous, especially the fact that you now have bumped yourself to last. That means that you really feel this is going to be like amazing as a reveal and a big surprise. So now I'm more excited than ever.
No pressure.
So no pressure.
No pressure. No. Well, look, I mean, I chose three things that I, first off, I was thinking, these are my three for this year. Over the course of the year, these are the three top things I would recommend for all of us to have. And then I changed one of them at last minute because I got something else, and I thought, oh, this is even better. I'm not going to start with that one, though. I'm going to start with it's not the cheapest, because actually two are tied in terms of price. So I'm going to start with one of them. And you'll not be shocked to learn it's got an Apple badge on it. It's the HomePod Mini.
Oh.
I've got to mention the HomePod Mini. So, you know, it's just out, and it is... And I've got two HomePod Bigs, as I call them. And I love the HomePod Big. I absolutely adore it. And it's getting all these new features, and there's lots of wonderful things. I mean, silly things I found. And it may have been there since day one. I don't know. You know what I'm like with tech. I play around for a while and get bored. But I was on a call to someone, and then I accidentally dropped my phone. And the phone landed next to the HomePod, and the call transferred from the phone directly to the HomePod.
That was a firmware update, basically.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, nice.
And I was so impressed. I could throw my phone at the HomePod and it would, you know, transfer the audio over, and it was great. And then to get, and of course, I would recommend you don't do it that way. What you're supposed to do is hold your phone up to the top of the device, and it will then transfer it over. It will do that handoff. And if you want to take the call back, say you're leaving the room and you want to take the call with you, you just hold the phone over the HomePod and it transfers it back onto the phone. Oh, so nice.
Or music or whatever. Yeah.
or music, or yeah, whatever you're listening to. So, you know, really, really nice feature from the HomePod, and that's the HomePod Big. The HomePod Mini, obviously, it's a slightly smaller version. I haven't opened mine yet to have a listen to, but I have got them. I got two, obviously, because I'm not ridiculous. Of course I'm going to buy two. I love the stereo pairing thing. Word of caution, if you have a HomePod Big, it doesn't pair with a HomePod Mini. Just be aware of that. You can't have two a stereo pair out of that. But then, why would you even want
to have that? Yeah, that makes sense. It's not going to be the same sound.
No. So, yeah. And it's the same with the Echoes. You can pair only the Echo with the other Echo, right? So if it's a Dot 3, it pairs with a Dot 3, you know, and an Echo Medium with an Echo Medium and so on and so forth, right? And that makes perfect sense. But no, the HomePod Mini, great sound. That's what we're promised. I haven't tried it yet. I will be talking about it in a couple of weeks' time when I've actually unboxed it and had a proper listen to it. How does it compare with the Echo Big? Bear in mind that when the when the HomePod Big came out, it was about £279. I got mine for about £199 on a sale. Now the HomePod Mini is out and it's £99. So you would imagine the sound quality is at least half, right? So we shall see. Maybe that's why they're pushing us to get the two of them, because, you know, that does make a difference. So, yeah, HomePod Mini is one that I've suggested. I think that's a good suggestion for a Christmas present. I think these are going to be bought like sweets at a candy store this year.
Good pick.
Especially at that price, if the sound is really good. Obviously, we're not going to expect it to be the original, you know, HomePod, although maybe it'll be close. You know, like the Dot 3, Dot 4s are very, very good, probably better than the original, you know, Echo 1. So, yeah, I'm intrigued. As I've said to you before, you're the guinea pig when it comes to this, so if you like it and it sounds good, I might have to buy one, but no, I think it's definitely a good pick.
I can't imagine it sounding terrible.
The reviews are really good.
Yep, they are.
Yeah, just not as full a sound, not as, you know, because it's not got the same size of bass woofers and stuff. But yeah.
So I'm giving you these in the order that I think I'm loving them. Right. So I'm giving you that as number three, if you like. Number two, my second favorite gadget of the year, the one I'm recommending to everybody I speak to, is the Ember mug. Oh, I know. Well, this is Robin's fault, this one.
I'm just picking mine up because it always lives here. Yeah. Feel that quality? Yeah.
Yeah, if I keep doing this, I'll probably break it. I am terrified of breaking this. It's ceramic, from my understanding. But here's the thing, right? It is a mug that's smart. It comes in at £100, 99 quid, 99, whatever it is. And it is a smart mug. Now, Andy, you know, we were talking there about the Xbox being sort of 249, 449. Well, you could spend 99 quid on a mug if you feel like it. This is unbelievable. So what's smart about it? Well, you would think, I mean, the smartest mug would be the one that fills itself, right, with coffee every morning, but it doesn't do that. What it does instead, though, is it will keep the liquid, the coffee or the tea, whatever you've decided to put into your mug, it will keep it warm for as long as basically the battery lasts, which is about 2 or 3 hours.
Or if, like me, you have the saucer, the charging base, which does look like a classy saucer.
It does, yeah.
In the same place where you spend a long time finishing off your last cup of coffee, then it will last forever because it's charging.
It will last forever, yeah. And it will keep it. And the weirdest thing is, it's the only time I've ever drank a coffee that gets warmer as you drink it. because especially when you get near the bottom, it seems to heat that final bit up. And that's always a cold, horrible bit at the bottom of the coffee cup. It's roasting hot all the time. And you can set your temperature. What I found is with the app, it's great using the app on the phone, but actually on the Apple Watch, if you combine it, it is even better. You even get a message telling you when your drink is at the temperature you've desired. It is a stunningly beautiful piece of kit as well, because, you know, it feels good, it's solid, doesn't get too warm. Even though you've got hot liquid in there, it doesn't. It's not going to burn you. It's not that kind of thing. You can keep it quite warm. The walls of the mug remain quite cool. The bottom, the underside, where all the mechanics are, you would think would be roasting. It's not, really isn't. Mm. And of course it has that lovely little saucer. And it's actually, it's a nice little saucer because the cup kind of goes right inside the saucer, which means it's a really easy base to, you know, to put the cup in and make sure you're not going to tip it over. Obviously you've got to plug that in, But no, I am really impressed. £99, it's a lot of money, if I'm honest. It could be sold for £69 or £79, truthfully. But, you know, it is good. And you can even buy now a travel mug version. Of course, these days that's pointless. But you can now get the travel mug version as well. Look, we've not got much time. I just want to quickly mention my last one before we go. Because, you know, I have to mention this. I was going to originally mention the Oculus Quest 2, which is the virtual reality headset that I got this year. I love it, but it's not my favourite gadget of the year that has been usurped. Look it up, I think that's the word.
Yeah.
It's been taken over, that's what I was trying to say, by another piece of hardware from Facebook. Yeah, number one on my list this year. Surprising even me. Not an Apple product this year. A Facebook product called the Portal.
Wow.
Now, we don't have a huge amount of time to get into this, but essentially what this is a video conferencing system. You might think, hang on a minute, what is this, 1983? But no, this is a video conference system that you can use to contact people on Facebook Messenger. You can use WhatsApp to do video calls. Hey, you can even do Zoom calls on this as well. Now, you might have heard about the Echo Show 10 that's coming out, and it's going to have the screen that moves around the room and follows you as you have a conversation with someone. Well, it's the same idea with this. The actual system doesn't move, but the camera does. So once you're in frame, the camera will frame itself to suit you. It will do all the lighting for you. So, you know, you go onto a Zoom call and you're not having to deal with horrible webcams stuck on your horrible laptop the office has given you. You can get a really high quality image, great wide angle lens that will move around the room. If two people are on the call, the camera will adjust itself. It will zoom out and make sure it accommodates both of you. All of that in place. Plus, you can get Spotify on there, and other apps are coming to it. I'm sure YouTube is coming. It's not there yet, but you know, lots of different apps are available. This comes in various flavors as well. You can get a almost a photo frame style, an 8 and 10 inch size, both touchscreen. You can get the TV version, which plugs into the TV and allows you to make calls more kind of, I guess, aimed at someone who's maybe older or people who don't necessarily want a separate out of the room for a separate device. The one I chose was the big, large, huge thing, which is a 15.6 inch screen, almost tablet style, stuck onto this amazing base with a huge speaker. And you know what? With 10 seconds to spare, all I can tell you is it is the most accessible device I've ever tried. Honestly, guys. TalkBack is on there. Because it's Android-based, it works. And on that bombshell, I say thank you for your gift guide ideas this week. And that is Tech Talk. Robin Christofferson, Tim Schwartz, Emails Andy. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thank you.